Thursday is January 6th. What is that? It's Epiphany, which means that Christmas season will finally officially be over. For my family, that means that all the presents that are currently scattered across the living room and the kitchen table need to be put away back in their, or up to their rooms. And over the next several days, the trees and decorations will start to be taken down for another year. Some of the gifts that we received, we'll use them time and time again. And others, well, like a pair of old socks, will get thrown over our shoulder, and that'll be the end of it. There is one gift, though, that just seems like it never goes away, and that is fruitcake. These things are just, they're heavy and so sweet that you can really only eat one bite a week. That is if you even like them. And I've wondered, what is it about fruitcake that makes them last so long? So I decided to do some research, and I found some very interesting information. As far as researchers can tell, fruitcakes date back to the ancient Egyptians and Romans. Why do fruitcakes last so long? Because they were considered by the Egyptians to be an essential food for the deceased in the afterlife. And so they were created to last a long time within the tombs. Because of their long shelf life, fruitcake also is a perfect food for Roman soldiers on long pilgrimages. And if they ran out of boulders, they could just load the fruitcake into the catapults to knock the walls down. Actually, the longevity of fruitcake is because of two ingredients, salt and alcohol. And although all fruitcakes don't have alcohol, the ones that last the longest, they're soaked in the stuff. In 2003 on The Tonight Show, Jay Leno sampled a fruitcake that dated back to 1878. So we can thank the Egyptians for the gift that keeps on giving. Actually, the gift that keeps on giving is the child whose birth we have been celebrating, the child whose family fled to the land of Egypt to escape Herod's bloodbath, which makes me wonder if Jesus ever tasted fruitcake when he was in Egypt. But wait, we're slightly ahead of ourselves here. For today is the first Sunday of Epiphany, a day that we celebrate the arrival of the Magi. From biblical records, we know very little about these men, who they were, their names, where they came from, and how many of them there actually were. And we know even less about what they did after they left Bethlehem. We know that they came from the east, and it is widely held that they were from Persia. Church history and all the early depictions of the Magi have them dressed in silky Persian clothing. We know that they were men of great knowledge and were given the title Magi. They were respected for their knowledge of astrology and astronomy and law and philosophy and medicine and science and physics and religion. We know that they brought and presented gifts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh. We know that they worshiped the Christ child. But that's all we know of them, and that's not a whole lot, is it? There is one more thing, though, that we do know about the Magi, and that is that they did not stay in Bethlehem. As a matter of fact, no one in the Christmas story stayed in Bethlehem. The angels returned to heaven. The shepherds went out back to their fields out beyond Bethlehem. The Magi went home to the east. And in that same night, Mary and Joseph took the Christ child and fled to Egypt. Jesus himself grew up, lived, and ministered somewhere other than Bethlehem. They all came to Bethlehem and celebrated Christ's birth just as we have, but none of them stayed. They all moved beyond Bethlehem. And that is the point of today's message. We too need to move beyond Bethlehem. Christmas is a special time of year, isn't it? Things change. People change. Well, at least for a month or so, anyhow. And for most people, those changes are good. There's, you know, the pretty decorations, the festive packages and music. People send cards of goodwill and well wishes. People tend to be merrier, more generous, more kind. Perhaps they put aside grudges for just a bit of time. Wars have been even known to cease during Christmas Eve. And because of all these things, people look forward to the Christmas season. They decorate as soon as Thanksgiving's over. They start playing the Christmas music because they just want to immerse themselves in the season of Christmas. Now, for some people, the day after Christmas, the decorations are put away, the trees come down, and the house is put back to normal order. I personally think it is good to continue to celebrate and remain in Bethlehem for a short while to ponder what we have experienced. And so I enjoy the 12 days of Christmas, which began on Christmas Day and end on January 5th. Today is the ninth day of Christmas. And then on January 6th is Epiphany and the end, and we start to undecorate. Some people, however, try to hold on to Christmas for as long as they possibly can, putting off the undecorating and turning off the lights. And I admit I'm guilty of that, all right? But like everyone else in this story, there comes a point where we need to move beyond Bethlehem. 6 weeks ago, we started a journey on the first week of Advent, and it led us to the manger in Bethlehem. But our journey did not end there. It continues beyond Bethlehem, and we continue on in our journey. And in 9 weeks, we will approach the first Sunday of Lent, which will then lead us to Easter. But even Easter is not the end of our journey, for we are called then by Christ to go into the world and share this joy that we know, to share the good news. So my question for this morning, the questions are, how do we move on, and where do we go from here? And I believe it's a simple answer, and that is, we simply go back to life. We go back to normal work weeks. Kids go back to school. Furniture that was displaced to make room for decorations and trees is put back in its proper place. Meetings and Bible studies and small groups that were suspended for the holidays go back to their regular schedules. Evenings that were filled with baking cookies and buying presents and visiting are now back to being open nights just to relax. And we go back to watching our regularly scheduled TV programs instead of Christmas specials. The shepherds, they went back to their sheep. And the Magi went back to their homes in the east. They went back to what was familiar and normal, and yet it wasn't quite the same anymore. The shepherds and Magi returned home, and everything was still the same as when they left, and yet it was different because they were now different. Their worldview was now different. Did the shepherds return to their flocks and see their jobs and sheep and themselves differently? Scripture doesn't tell us, but I believe that they probably did. Those who were despised and considered unclean and untrustworthy were the first ones entrusted with the good news of salvation. Those who had no hope and were kicked around and things, they now had hope, and they felt like a child of God. They came quietly and timidly and humbly, but Scripture tells us they left dancing and celebrating and praising God and telling everyone what they had seen and heard. As I said earlier, Scripture is silent on the Magi after they left in the night, but church historians and ancient writers and church tradition tell us that the Magi, they became ingrained in the Christian church. After Bethlehem, Persians knew of and some later practiced Christianity. On the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, Persians were told, join the church that day after hearing Peter preach. And early church records show that Thaddeus and Bartholomew evangelized to the Persians. And by the way, that is modern-day Iran and Iraq. Archaeologists have discovered depictions of the Magi in Christian catacombs and on bone boxes dating back to the early late 200s. It is thought by some scholars that the sarcophagus depicting the Magi were of Gentiles who converted to Christianity like the Magi did. There is an apocryphal book not accepted in the biblical canon called The Revelation of the Magi, which supposedly records the work of the Magi once they left Bethlehem. Then this and other records claim that the Magi went back to Persia and shared what they knew about this new king, about the Christ. The second oldest known Christian church is the Church of St. Mary's in Iran. Marco Polo recorded that he worshiped there. Another Christian church in northwest Iran dates back to 66 AD. So you can see Christianity was in the Persian area. And most likely because the Magi went back. The Persians originally worshipped Zoroaster, but for a short time, many became Christians until Islam took over. It is written by one ancient historian that Thomas found the Magi when he left to share the gospel in India, and he baptized them and made them priests. They later were killed for their faith, and their remains were buried near Tehran. Marco Polo records that he was shown their tombs. Later, in 390 AD, their remains were moved to Constantinople in Turkey, and finally in 1164 to Cologne, Germany, where their remains rest today. After celebrating the first Christmas, the Magi did not remain in Bethlehem. They returned home, and everything was like it had been when they left, but they were different. They continued to seek knowledge. However, they now perceive science and philosophy and religion and law and medicine and astronomy through a new lens, a different light. For the light of Christ had opened up their heart, their minds, and their souls. They had an epiphany. The light came on. That's what happens when one truly encounters the Christ. They go away different than when they came. They see the world, one another, and God differently and more fully. We too have gone to Bethlehem, and we have celebrated the birth of Christ, and like all the others, we must now move beyond Bethlehem. Like the shepherds and Magi, we must go back to the same life we left, but like them, we can make differences. We may go back to the same lives, but they don't have to stay the same. We can make changes. We, having been to Bethlehem, having celebrated Christmas, can take the love and joy and excitement that we experience into the same old workplaces, into our schools, into restaurants and our sports teams and our homes and our families and our lives and can change and make things different. The Magi had some of the Old Testament prophecies, partially because for 70 years the Israelites were in exile in Babylon. And so some of that the people stayed, and some of that resonated with them. Also, as we read in Numbers, one of their ancient early ancestors, Balaam, remember him and his talking donkey? Well, he was sent by King Balak to curse Israel, but God intervened, and Balaam then instead, he blessed them. And he offered up one of the very first messianic prophecies. I see him, but not now. I see him, but not near. But a star shall rise up, a scepter shall rise, and he shall lead his people. The ancient Persians, they had some knowledge of Jesus. They had some prophecies. They saw a star and they followed it, and it led them to a child, not of noble birth in a palace, but of poor parents in a peasant's home. And I wonder how they knew for sure that he was the right one. But they must have, because they left their extravagant gifts with him. They worshiped him. And then they went home. And they led the Christian church in Persia, eventually giving up their lives for faith in a child that they had only seen for a very short while on one single night. We, on the other hand, we have all the Old Testament prophecies, all the witnesses of the New Testament. We know that the child grew, taught, ministered, performed miracles. We know that Jesus suffered and died for our sins. He died, resurrected, ascended to heaven, and has promised to return for us. And we see how the Christian church has grown and survived for over 2,000 years. We have so much more evidence to believe in than the Magi did. And so my question is, what will we do with this information? What will we do with our faith? Will we essentially spiritually stay in Bethlehem, keeping our mouths closed, internally reflecting on and enjoying the birth of Christ, but never letting him leave the manger, never letting him grow up, never letting him change us? Or do we go beyond Bethlehem, going back to our normal lives, glorifying and praising God, taking the love, joy, and excitement that we have experienced of Christmas into every corner of our lives? If we choose to stay in Bethlehem, nothing will ever change. But if we, like the Magi, move beyond Bethlehem, taking Christ with us, everything changes. Because the way we look at our jobs, our hobbies, our friends, our families, our community, our churches, and even our own very lives, it all changes with Christmas. What we once perceived through the eyes of the world, we now see and understand through a new lens, through the eyes of Christmas and the cross of Easter. We can change and better our lives. We can change and better the church. We can change and better our communities. We can even change and better the world. If we stay in Bethlehem, we're going to be alone because, well, everyone else left. Jesus even walked away and he said, "Come, follow me." We have a world to change. Yesterday, we celebrated the beginning of a new year. Out with the old, in with the new, right? It's a new year. Anything is possible, especially in light of Christmas. So what do you say? Let's do it. Let's make this the year that we make some changes for Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for today and the memories and the stories of those who came on that first Christmas and saw you and experienced you and worshiped you. But like them, Lord, help us to move beyond Bethlehem. Help us to go forth as they did, glorifying and praising God and telling everyone about what we have seen and experienced, the things that we know, that Christmas can continue throughout the year and not end on January 5th, but continue in our hearts and in our minds in the way that we interact with one another. Lord, may Christmas strengthen our faith for the days ahead, and may we be children who have received such a glorious gift. This we ask in your holy name. Amen.